What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling this Thursday morning. Well, tell you what, we're moving closer to another Eagles game, which I really look forward to. For one thing, that kind of washed away, even though they won last week, some of that last week game stuff, and frankly, some of the conversation this week. I mean, it's been in the mud. So look, hopefully they get a win Sunday. We'll start moving toward that. Sixers last night, you got an injury with Jared McCain. He fell hard. We'll see what happens there. I don't think any news will break during our show, but later today, in all likelihood, it will. Jason Kelce with us at 7:30. You know, some residual Phil stuff after that Dave Dombrowski press conference 2 days ago, plus the Flyers in action tonight. All of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
What up, pal?
You know,
buddy? Amigo?
I thought you almost
friend?
Said you were going to lament the win. Like, it almost feels like we lost that game.
Well, it does.
Last
it
week,
does.
And
it does.
We are sitting around and woe is us.
I know.
The average lifespan, meanwhile, of a Major League Baseball is 5 to 7 pitches.
Well, it would have been fun if you asked us a trivia question before you stated it, because that would have been a fun one to guess. It sounds about right.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that sounds crazy.
But, oh, I mean,
but
think about how many balls get thrown out, how many balls get fouled off. Like,
one pitch in the dirt, it's gone. Those have to factor
honestly, I'm
big.
Surprised it's not lower. I would guess closer to 5 than 7.
The first number I saw was and then I dug a little deeper just to, that can't be right, and no, 5 to 7.
That makes sense.
It's still, I can understand what you're saying.
Totally.
It seems a little high.
Yeah, I mean, foul balls and scuff balls. And
I mean, it feels like every other ball. It's like in the dirt. Yeah. Let's throw another one out.
That's a lot of baseballs, though, guys.
So many baseballs.
Rawlings says that they make 2.4 million balls every year.
Just remember
for this specific purpose. That's a lot.
For what it's worth, the ball probably goes up in value after it's used. Because if Major League Baseball wanted to sell it, they probably could. Just saying. I mean, the ball is probably more valuable after being used than being made. But anyway, all right.
Well, except the ones that go in the foul, you know, then they can't sell those anymore.
Obviously. All right. So let's talk about the Eagles here out of the gate. You know, it's been a strange season, and it's been a tough week. And as I said at the start of the year, you know, after that Green Bay game, which they won, I said, I thought this year the Eagles were going to have a lot of ugly wins and a lot of bad losses. And you know, to this point, that's exactly what the formula has been through 5 games. 3-2, though. Today, I really want to see, John, if it is possible to talk in a positive nature about our football team. I want to see if we can stir those listening. And listen, it may not be possible. I want to be clear, guys. The floor is going to be yours at 215-592-9494 to essentially answer this question. Do you think this team this year can become good? Do you think this team this year will become good? And what is the path to achieving that? What do they got to do? I mean, this thing had such high expectations when the season started. No one right now is talking about the Super Bowl, rightfully so. We're just talking about trying to get a good team in front of us. John, what do they need to do, and what is the likelihood, in your opinion, that they really can crank this up, improve, and become a good football team this year?
The likelihood is there, and it all it really rests in the lap of Jalen Hurts, whether he develops the way we expect him to, the way we hope he does, whether he takes off and runs with this or he doesn't. And it still feels like we're not getting, I don't know exactly the returns that we're getting, but this last week, Jalen's performance, no turnovers. That felt like, you know, fingers crossed, possibly we're getting back to where he's comfortable and he's not going to be turning the ball over, which I once thought was his greatest trait.
Yeah, that was a good step.
That he was, you know, fastidious in his preparation and he was not going to make the mistakes that gave the other team opportunities to win. He wasn't going to turn the ball over. That was outstanding in the way that he played. And recently we've seen that has not been the case. I hope we can get that back. What else makes me feel good about the Birds? Nick Sirianni is not the only coach we have on staff. You know, Nick said yesterday, and I hate to nitpick and, you know, be that guy.
Well, James, we went 90 seconds and he's about to say something negative.
I'm trying to be positive, right?
I mean, it's, you know, just speak your piece.
Nick said, you're never going to be perfect, right? Every coach I ever had strove for perfection. I know we're not going to be perfect, but I know we're going to be damn close. And the best teams, they can be. The best teams put together perfect drives. The best teams put together perfect practices where the ball does not touch the ground. Don't sell yourself short, Nick. I believe he is, and our team does as a result. That doesn't make me feel great. Nick, it not being the best coach in my mind to guide our guys who want consistency and near perfection. You know, we are sloppy at times as a team, and I think that stems from our coach. But I do think that can be better. I do know that we're being led by other coaches, that we got a team, we got a whole squadron of coaches, and they don't coach exactly the same way. And I just hope that the precise coaches who do believe that we can get as close to perfection as possible, who are working on our two-minute and situational offense and defense, I hope they're doing a great job, because we can, with this personnel, we can still be a good
team.
Well,
that's the crazy thing.
There's that.
Yeah, John, there's so much firepower offensively.
Look around. Yeah. Look around the NFL, and other teams should be very frightened of what we have, of what we boast, of our firepower. I feel great about our running game. I feel great about our running back. Saquon Barkley is going to dominate if we just hand him the ball. And I do think they will begrudgingly hand him the ball in most cases, so we're good there. Cooper DeJean should give everyone reason for excitement, and actually Sidney Brown and Cooper DeJean, I'm going to lump them together. Two young DBs, not necessarily the same position, because Cooper's playing almost like linebacker in the nickel. Sidney Brown, I've seen him play linebacker in the nickel also, but you know, he's a safety. They do different things. They do one thing similarly and well, and that's aggress. They get after it. They get after people. They want to hit people. I love that about these two young players, and I think they're going to infuse that defense with a lot of aggression and enthusiasm. That'll make us a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. I mean, I guess the question is, do you think the Eagles will become good this season, or is it crazy talk to even consider that based on what we've seen? And what's the path for them to do it? Now, and again, 215-592-9494. Let me just say this. Points of optimism for me are the following, and I could give you more, but I'm going to give you some big ones. A.J. Brown is an all-timer. He's an all-timer. Guy's unbelievable. And obviously, they were without him for three games. So, or two games, whatever. I think it was three games, yeah. So having him back, I mean, we should not lose sight of the fact they were 1-2 without him. We should not lose sight of that. All right, that's...
I don't think we lost sight of that.
I mean, I think some people did.
Lost sight... Well, we didn't lose sight of the fact that we were 1-2. We might have lost sight of the fact that it was, in large part, due to offensive ineptitude based on the passing game being less than what it should have been.
Without him,
Because the massive contribution from him was absent.
So A.J. stud. Major point of optimism. Saquon, stud. Let me give you another one. So, you know, I think one of the easiest things, frankly, to clean up, and there's a lot not easy to clean up, but I really believe one of the easiest things to clean up, and he's just got to screw his head on a little straighter, is the Sirianni in-game decision-making. I mean, I got to tell you guys, for the first 3 years that he was the coach, I thought he was fantastic. When to kick, when to punt, when to go for it on fourth down. When to kick, when to punt, when to go for it on four. He was great at it. And like this year, it's a combination of a few things. One, I think he's making some bad decisions. Two, I think there's been some snake bit element to it. I mean, Saquon could have caught the ball. They'd be 4-1. So, you know, I think that there is a pretty fixable fix right there. Just be sharper with your decision making. And hopefully not be so snake bit. Now, and I'll say this. Here to me is the formula of how they become a much better football team. I don't know that they'll achieve it, but in my opinion, this is the formula. And I got five things, and I'm just going to rattle them off. Number one, and this doesn't per se make you better, but bear with me. I think you'll get my point. Number one, they need to beat the teams they're supposed to beat to stack wins, to buy time. This team's got to be still in it in January. They're not going to become a better team in like late October. Late October is almost here. Early November, I don't think they're going to be a better team, like a good team. They need to improve over months, but they got to win games in the meantime so they're still playoff eligible so that they can improve as teams do improve over 2 or 3 months. So that's number one. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Number two, Sirianni has to be better in game. I covered that earlier. He has to be. Number three, Jalen must play better. This team cannot.
Sirianni better in game as a coach, better in game as a non-antagonizer of other people in the stands.
All like that.
But those are two very different things.
How about maybe just trust Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and don't put your nose in it? You know, how about now? I don't think he's going to do that. I think he is going to put his nose in it. But all right. So now, Jalen, number three, he's got to play better. I mean, got to play better. I don't know how else to put it. He's got to play a lot better. Number four, Jalen Carter's got to pick it up. We said at the start of this year, and we meant it. I certainly did. This team requires, because of what they don't have, it necessitates Jalen Carter to be fantastic. Fletcher Cox was fantastic year two. Jerome Brown was fantastic year two. I saw it. I watched it. Jalen Carter has not been consistently enough. We know it's in there. We know it. We're not making this up. We're not trying to turn Milton Williams into Fletcher Cox. We're trying to turn Jalen Carter into Fletcher Cox. It's there. He's got to tap into it. Number five, some young players that aren't like studs or should be studs, like Jalen Carter. Some guys got to step up. I don't know who that's going to be, but I'm thinking in terms of Will Shipley. I'm thinking in terms of Grant Calcaterra. Cooper DeJean, who already has shown us some good
Grant
stuff.
Grant Calcaterra surprised me
That was impressive.
I still need to see a lot more as impressive. A blocker from him, but yeah. the burst.
That was solid, man.
The athletic ability was really good.
You know, like a Jalix Hunt. Do I think he turns a corner this year?
Boy.
Probably not. But I also know.
How about Bryce Huff, please?
Well, I think that I got more hope in Jalix Hunt.
Do you really?
This year.
How?
I mean Jalix Hunt hasn't even been on the field
about
yet.
Him.
I just do.
I've seen.
But here's the thing about developmental players. Sometimes they develop.
Yeah, but
he has to be on the field to play, though.
Guys, I'm not saying they're on the field and you can see that they're not developed.
I understand. All right, look, all of it on the table. What do they need to do to become good? What, in your opinion, is the realistic chance they pull it off? Or do you think we're just stuck with a season where they're just going to be stuck the whole year? You know, you win some, you lose some, you win some, you lose some. Where do you stand? All right, on this Thursday morning, you know, it is incredible that not only can the Eagles get to 4-2 on Sunday, they probably will. Now, I take none of this for granted. They could play.
The line's gone down for what it's worth.
What
they opened
it
as a 4-point favorite. It's down to 3.
Okay. But that still is they probably should.
It's like a 55-45, man.
Hey, probably is only above 50%, James. That's all probably. You got to learn about probability.
Okay. They beat the Browns by a lot more.
Let's go with that.
No, look, guys, Daniel Jones, I mean, you want to see Jalen. I mean, let me put it this way. At the very least,
Daniel Jones gives us trouble. Like, no
matter
how
you cut
it.
Yeah, but he's not good.
But he's fast and he breaks loose against us for some reason. And it doesn't seem like he has any qualms about pulling it and putting his head down and crashing through defenders.
Part of that's because that's
crazy.
He's just trying to survive up there.
I guess so.
He has to do that.
Yeah, you're right. But he does. And he survives. And he's like fine. He doesn't get hurt. He just keeps running
Let's just be on the same page on this one. Jalen Hurts is totally supposed to outplay Daniel Jones.
He better.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, totally supposed to outplay
him. He sure better.
All right, so let's go to the phones. Where do you have a sense of optimism for this football team? Do you think it's realistic they become a good team? And what do they need to do in order to do it? 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the Philly shortly as well. A lot from a couple days ago. What?
Just a sec.
Yes.
Did you notice the moon is still outside? Did you see that thing?
I did not.
On the horizon?
I see it now.
It's massive.
It's a nice looking moon.
Big. Doesn't it seem like it's kind of late or early or whatever you'd call it for a gigantic full moon to be?
It's dark out.
I know.
I mean, it's completely dark.
Yeah.
It doesn't strike me.
It just seems odd.
Doesn't seem that odd to me.
I'm looking at you, Talk. Right behind your head is like a gigantic moon. It just seems like that might be the first time I've ever seen that.
That wasn't the odd thing I noticed. The odd thing I noticed was Joe DiCamera coming to work in sweatpants today.
Oh, that's odd. That seems odd to you?
Yeah, it
it's
does.
The second time in like
it
2 weeks.
It does. It's ridiculous.
So, first off,
hey,
it's starting to get chilly,
work.
Jimmy.
He's no all big about deal. I'm going to wear sweatpants.
Number one.
I'm going to go to my job in sweatpants.
Right, number one. I mean, for the most part, who sees us in here this early in the morning? I mean, really.
Well, yeah, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. You know what?
It's funny you should say that.
Yeah, listen to what Ria has to say.
What?
We're getting a visit from some very important people in the company.
Who's that?
It's our new board of directors.
Okay. Well, you know what? John Ritchie was a fullback years ago. He can be a fullback today. Shield me, John.
Shield me. Of all days to wear sweatpants.
Hey, Wechter, go buy me some pants. Someone help me. Help a brother out here.
Read your emails, Joe.
Oh, well, I do. I must have missed that one. All right, let's go to the phones. 215, that's good. 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Tom. Tom, good morning.
Yo, Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Tom.
Good deal, man.
Tell me we're going to have a good football team, Tom. Even if you're lying, just find a way to try to convince us today. Go ahead, Tom.
Everything's going to be groovy, man. Everything's going to be cool, man.
Groovy.
Nice use of groovy.
Just as soon as we wake up, you know?
But when will that happen,
Look,
Tom?
I wish it was that simple. You think, Tom, that they have not put full throttle forward so far, and that's why the struggles are what they are?
Well, I would hope so. But, I mean, I have to say, though, as far as being positive, the defense is better than what we thought it would be, don't you think? I mean, we thought it was going to be really, really bad.
And they've had two good games and, I guess, three bad games, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean...
No, I think the problem... the problem, Tom, was we're saying we're not getting any pressure from our D-line for... Every game up until the bye, and then the bye
Other
happened.
Than the Saints game. They got pressure in the Saints game. That was the one game.
All right.
And Tom, honestly.
But I wasn't ready to say, okay, everything's solved.
No, I'm not
then
either.
Then after the bye, we went out there and we had, what, five sacks in
but
that game?
But they played Cleveland.
It was Cleveland. So therein lies the conundrum. Was it more bad opponent or good Eagles? I think it was a mixture of both. But we're playing bad opponent. For, you know, the next several weeks, I think we're going to start feeling better about our team, but I don't know that the team will be actually better.
Yeah, no, I mean, Tom, go ahead, buddy.
I'll tell you, it's fortunate that we didn't win the division last year, because if we win it, that schedule that Dallas has is what we would have had. And, man, we wouldn't have had a snowball's prayer in hell, and I don't know if we do here.
Jeez, but Tom, that's pretty cynical.
Well, if the NFC doesn't look too strong as it usually could be, I mean, there's still time left, too. And I'm just going to say, as far as the head coaching position, if they decided they wanted to go in another direction, you know, to have a guy, Vangio, who's been in the league a long damn time, he could go be the head coach and find a DC, which could restore order, so to speak, if that's what needs to happen. Or
look, I don't think they're going to, Tom, I'll tell you this. I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, obviously you can if you want to. You know what was interesting, John? Shield Kapadia had an article earlier this week for The Ringer. I want to read, and Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. I want to read a little bit of this to you. Not a ton, just a little bit, because this was a theory that, and it's funny, Shield didn't say this to us yesterday on the air with us, but he had a theory earlier in the week about Sirianni's conduct after the game I hadn't heard anyone else say. So obviously when he's working for The Ringer, he's presenting this stuff to a national audience. So I won't go through it. I mean, he goes through it in great detail. We know the details, right? All the weird stuff. Okay. And he references, you know, Shield says the only sports story that anyone's talking about this week in Philadelphia is Sirianni's behavior and his job status. This was around, I think, Tuesday he wrote this. So he talks, and I'll just read right from it. He says, after Sunday's game, Sirianni, you know, bizarre press conference, blah, 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 the kids, blah, 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 blah. Okay. He says it was, he talks about also how the two play calls, Sirianni said, yeah, that was me. Yeah, it went wrong, that was me. Here's the pinnacle thing, I think, from Shield's article I found fascinating. He says it was a strange admission, given that Eagles executives specifically hired Moore and Fangio because they wanted Sirianni to be less involved. But Sirianni didn't sound like a man who is content getting out of the way. In some ways, he sounded to me like a man who was emotional because he thought he might have been about to be fired if the Eagles lost the game.
Whoa, that's fascinating.
It is.
Like, that is, because we talked about it. Like, if they lose the Browns, could this be it for Sirianni?
It's an interesting theory. It's just a theory, but it's interesting.
It helps to explain how over the top he was, you know, where the emotion of feeling that, where he looked at that win a lot differently than we did, so to speak.
Yeah. That's what we couldn't figure out. Why the disconnect? Why does he perceive this in such an elated way? We're wondering what went wrong. He's like, yeah, woohoo, Disney World, get the kids up here.
It was a little unhinged.
It's fascinating.
It's really an interesting theory. I mean, listen, maybe it's wrong because maybe it's just as simple as the players told him in the week leading up to it, just you be you. And so maybe he just removed the yield sign from his own brain.
And he went too far.
And there are those in that organization
who are offended to some degree. Yeah. That's what we've heard.
Hey,
they said embarrassed is the word we've heard.
As they should be.
Reported
they absolutely should be.
Yeah.
Anyone with good sense would be embarrassed.
All right, so coming up, some stuff from Dave Dombrowski 2 days ago. There was a lot we did not cover yesterday on the show. We'll get to that. Your thoughts on the Phil's big picture. Obviously, the Eagles' big picture as well. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. What a great song. Good morning to all. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your Thursday. Look, we're getting closer to another Eagles game. And believe it or not, as bad as they've played, if they win this one, they're 4-2. I mean, that's what you got to think as. I mean, you don't have to, but I'll just say this. That's the optimistic view of stacking wins and then trying to improve. And we have seen teams improve. I mean, the 2013 Eagles were 1-3. They got to the playoffs. The 95 Eagles were 1-3. They won a playoff game in which they scored 58 points. I mean, you can improve.
This team can go out against the Giants and look better. They can win that game. The Bengals the following week, we know that the Bengals have not started this season with the flying colors they
Correct.
Were hoping.
Yeah.
And then the week after, it's the Jaguars who boast, you know, the other coach who is at the top of the list in terms of who's got the best odds to be fired right now. It's Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni.
By the way, then it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Like, we kept looking at it like, then things get hard with Dallas. I mean, the Eagles very well might be favored in that game. By the way, I don't want anyone to misconstrue. Getting a 6-2 doesn't mean they're good. It helps, but it doesn't mean they're good. They got to become good to do something meaningful.
They got to 10-1 last year.
An example just from last year. The Packers started 3-6 last year, 4-7, went on a run, ended up 9-8, and they absolutely could have beaten the Niners. They could have gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were a quality team at the end of the year. They really were.
We need to be better. We need to be improved by November 14th. So I'm less worried about the Cowboys on November 10th. Than I am the Commanders on November 14th.
I think that's a bigger game
Four
at this point.
4 days later, short week.
Sure.
8:15 game, you know, national game against that team that feels like they've passed us in the division. It feels like Washington. Yeah, this will be their chance to show the world whether they have made good.
It can go the other way too, though.
Sure.
We all remember.
Sure.
I mean, Carson Wentz was 3-0, and we're like, "Let's go, baby!" Yeah. You know, like it does happen.
Yep.
It would be. The wonderful thing, what this team needs to do is set the record straight, set the ledger straight, reset the ledger. Hey guys, we are the dominant team because the week before, well, not the week before, 4 days before, you got the Cowboys, then the Commanders.
Sure.
You got to set everything straight.
All right, so 215-592-9494 to weigh in, including on the topic, do you think the Eagles actually can and or will become good this year? Or is it crazy talk given what we've seen? And what do you think they need to do it? I mean, I can't imagine anyone disagrees with what I said about Jalen Carter. Time for him to step up. Like, let's remember this about Jalen Carter. Maybe the number one overall pick, if not the incident down in Georgia. Or wherever that was after the national championship game.
I don't even know that it's a maybe.
So be that guy.
Everyone said this guy has everything you could ever hope for, everything
you're looking for. Be that guy. By the way, a couple things I'm looking forward to today. So Jason Kelsey with us in an hour in studio. Over the phone today. 7:30, Kelsey with us for a long stretch of time. So that's always a great thing. 9:30 today, something really unique. And you may not know this. Philadelphia has a champion boxer, like literally world champion, the welterweight champion is Jerron Boots Ennis. He's fighting coming up in a couple weeks. He's going to be in studio with us today at 9:30. James, when did you first hear of Jerron Boots Ennis?
On this show a few months ago, whenever it was that you first brought him up. That was the first time I ever heard of him.
He is the champion of the world.
Yeah.
Like, of the world.
Yeah, it's
so
awesome.
So we gotta embrace this guy.
We can use all the winners we can get right now.
Let's have it rub off on the other teams. All right, 215.
I just read recently that boxing is the sport that most lends itself to films, feature-length films being made about it.
Interesting.
I don't know how they came up with that stat, but whether it was there actually have been more films.
Well, there are tons. Yeah, I mean, think about it.
There are a lot of movies about boxing.
Disproportionate compared to the popularity of this sport, certainly nowadays as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Think about that.
But a great story. Easier to tell that story than 53 football players.
Yeah, it's one-on-one. Yeah. Of course it is.
You know what I mean?
It makes sense.
Get in there.
Yeah. It's cinematic. It's all that.
All right. By the way, James.
Grippingly visual.
Name the TV show that said, it won't be cinematic.
Oh, what
a guy is threatening to kill a woman in a car if she ever goes near Tony Soprano again.
Of course.
It won't be cinematic. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing all right, Mike.
Hey, John, just so you know, you're not crazy. The moon is different right now. It's called a super moon.
Why?
Super moon?
Because it sounds super. Cool.
It's in a phase right now where it's a little bit closer to the Earth, so it seems much bigger than what it is.
No wonder. It absolutely, it is strange when I can see the moon massively right behind the camera's face as he's starting the show. That really was strange today.
Yeah, so no, you're not crazy.
Okay,
Joe, you have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. You could give him the double moon.
Yeah, I could. like you said, apparently there's some big bosses on here, so I think I'll avoid that one. All right, what do you got for us, Mike?
All right. The Eagles definitely have the opportunity to be good. In my eyes, they actually have the opportunity to be great. But there is a lot of things that need to go right and a lot of things that need to be changed. And first of all, it starts with Sirianni getting his head out of his you-know-what. And stop playing or coaching like he's playing some kid in Madden or something. I mean, it's watching this offense, it's either a go route or a crossing route, and sometimes we'll hand the ball off.
Well, hold on, Mike, to be fair, look, I'm not in the mood to defend Sirianni much these days, but to be fair, if it's mostly Kellen Moore's offense, then you got to start directing those comments to Kellen Moore. Unless they tell, and you know my theory, they tailor this thing to what's comfortable for Jalen. I mean, I can't fathom that Kellen Moore, who had all these different plays in Dallas, suddenly forgot how to call them. I don't buy that.
Well, see, that's why I'm starting to now look at Jalen Hurts.
You should.
Wondering if he's capable of doing these things. And I called in 2 days ago and I said, if he's not capable of doing these things, that's where I look at Sirianni, because it's coaching. Coaching is what gets players to be able to do something.
To an extent.
Mike, I feel, and most people feel like if I've seen you do it once, you know, this is the adage in the NFL. If I've seen you do it once, I think I can coach you to do it again.
100%.
And that's what's so flummoxing about all of this. In 2022, we've got our quarterback neck and neck with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That we're debating who's the best quarterback in the world. Is it our guy or their guy? That's where 100%. It was.
But we were also there with Carson in 2017, and it fell apart.
You're right.
I mean, it does happen.
But that's where it was.
I know.
And if there was a 10-year difference between it happening, say this was, you know, we're talking 10 years ago he was doing these things, then I would be like, okay, the dude probably regressed. He got older. He's failing. Like, his body's just not capable of doing these things. It was 2 years ago, and he had one knee.
I know,
right.
Like, it's not Carson where he had the back, the head.
No, it's not as extensive as that. Not at all.
And we know Shane Steichen had a major impact on the way that Jalen performed.
Yeah,
we know that being coached right made him play differently.
But, Mike,
I
think there's a broader point here that maybe we haven't discussed enough. What Jalen brought to the league, while pretty unique, is replicated by a lot of quarterbacks, maybe not quite as effectively at the read option, but there's a lot of QBs that do it now. which means there's like every defensive coordinator in football has to prepare for it. And over 2 years, I think coordinators have made adjustments. I mean, if you know what I mean? Like, there's like 10 or 14 different quarterbacks to play the way he plays. So,
yeah, they absolutely have made adjustments because you see it across the league where if you're not getting creative with it, it's getting stopped. If you're just running the basic RPO, then a lot of people are able to stop it.
Yeah, but I want to, Mike, if we could get like Lions-y with it, if we could get Detroit-ish with the way our offense is run, I would love it. Because I agree with you. You got to start branching out.
All right, so 215-592-9494. By the way, you can win a pair of tickets today during our show. I just mentioned Jerron Boots Ennis with the fight coming up. It's November 9th, and it's at the Wells Fargo Center. That's the other thing that's cool. Like, not only is he from here, he's going to have a welterweight championship fight of the world coming up, you know, defending his belt at the Wells Fargo Center in a couple weeks. I guess that's, what, 2.5, 3 weeks? November 9th at the Wells Fargo Center. So you can be there. Now, you can purchase tickets for this. Of course, tickets always available, WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. That's WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. By the way, big card that night. All sorts of fights that night. But the big one is a world title on the line. And today we give away a pair of tickets. Here's how we give them away. So, John, we love movies. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Who is it, James, that doesn't like movies? Ruben Frank?
Ruben Frank, yeah.
Like, for some reason, just
doesn't watch them, doesn't like them, doesn't want anything to do with them.
It's strange.
It's very strange.
Very strange. So here's the deal. Today, because, you know, James had referenced to me earlier that he doesn't watch them.
He's mad at movies?
He just doesn't watch them.
He does not watch them.
Out. Fully out.
That's there's
now he
be
goes to like a concert
deeper.
Every night of the week,
right?
Literally,
whoa.
Like yeah, literally
he tilts too far one way.
Way too, all he does
does
is
he
his
have
music.
A television at home?
I don't know. He might not.
Well, I'm sure
right,
he's a
for
television.
Sports.
He's a sports fan. He chooses
now, to be
not.
Fair, it's like only a football fan.
This isn't complicated. He chooses not to watch movies. That's the end of the story. He don't watch them. Nothing
else doesn't make sense.
Of course, it doesn't make sense. But it's what he does. All right, here's the deal: if you watch movies and if you watch Shawshank. You know that in Shawshank, there's the Rita Hayworth poster. Now, Seltzer said to me earlier today, this is the date, you know, way back when Rita, this would have been her birthday if she was still alive. By the way, she was beautiful and awesome. Ooh. I was a big Rita Hayworth fan. All right.
You were a big Rita Hayworth fan?
Huge.
No,
you
she
weren't.
She died in 1987.
Come on, man.
Huge fan. Gilda was the name of the movie. All right?
Gilda. You're right.
I know.
That's the one they watch in Shawshank.
Trust me. I love Rita Hayworth.
Dude, I love black and white movies.
Right. So let's here's go. The deal. That would be a, you know, I mean, but you could have that prop pretty easy. Anyone could get a Rita Hayworth poster. Today we go inside movie history. You got to give us a prop from a movie that you could display in your home, and whoever comes up with the best answer is going to win the tickets to see Boots Ennis try to win, you know, another fight and defend his belt. So here's what I mean by that. Like, you don't get the Batmobile. It don't fit in your home, all right? None of that nonsense. It's got to be a displayable item. By the way, lightsaber, it doesn't actually work.
It's you not know? That cool.
Like, Joe Wechter can't come in your house and bang, you knock him down and you kill him. It don't work that way.
Wow.
But you can have the actual prop if you want to. You can, all right, so
could have just taken his hand off like Luke or something, you know?
All right, John, give me an item from a movie. And everyone, get those thinking caps on, boys and girls. What is the best item ever from a movie that fits neatly into a home that you'd love to have? Best answer wins the fight tickets. John, what do you got?
It really is tough to go choose just one. But for me, Back to the Future 2. I put skateboards on the wall.
Oh,
now.
I thought you were going a different way in Back to the Future 2. Wow.
I'm going with the hover skateboard.
Okay.
That
won't work.
I understand it doesn't work, but I have my skateboard decks like decoratively displayed.
Sure.
That would be a great one to
all
put
right,
up
so you got
the
hoverboard. Seltzer, give me an answer.
So mine's going to be a conversation starter too, because someone's going to walk in my house and see a display case with a prop gun in there. And they'll be like, what are you doing with a gun in your house? And it's like, oh, that's the gun that Michael Corleone took off the wall of the bathroom and killed Salazzo McCluskey with.
The Godfather gun. That's interesting. Reed, give me an answer here.
I am going to do the mug, the Kobayashi mug from
Usual.
From Usual Suspects.
Yeah, that's another good look. There's so many big answers. Give us great answers, 215-592-9494. You guys know I'm a big fan of The Natural. I mean, give me Wonder Boy, but hopefully before. I don't think it really broke. I think that was, I don't think it really split in half. Give me Wonder Boy from the great movie The Natural. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, coming up in 1 minute, something said by Dave Dombrowski 2 days ago on one of the Phillies' main players. We're going to get to that. It was some interesting stuff. Dombrowski on Boehm. That's coming up in 1 minute.
If you've spent time building the right roster and earned the fans, then you need the best technology to back it up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free, but that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. So let's bring it back to the Phils because, you know, press conference 2 days ago, and Dombrowski spoke on a ton of topics, one of which was Alec Boehm. Now, you guys know I'm not nearly as out on Alec Boehm as a lot of people were when the season's over, but I know, I get it, a lot of people are very frustrated. Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski the other day when he talked about the Phils' third baseman.
First, about Alec Boehm, how do you look at his season? This started off so well, becomes an all-star, and then has like a slow decline, and then how concerning was it that Rob had to pull him out of the lineup for game two against the Mets?
Sure. Well, Alec Boehm's a good player. I mean, he's starting third baseman for the National League team. I mean, he's a good player. He knocked in 100 or close to 100 runs 2 years in a row. He's one of the top hitters in the league. He's improved defensively. He had an outstanding first half of the season and not an Alec Boehm second half of the season. But he overall is a really good player. He's a good player on the team. You know, anytime, you know, the manager has to make those decisions on what he thinks is the best thing for his club. We knew he was coming off an injury that affected his hand, which makes it more difficult to hit at times. So Rob thought that we needed energy and that was a move that he was going to make. He went into the game later in the day, into that particular game. So, I mean, those are the things I leave in the manager's hands. I mean, I wish he wasn't in a slump at that time. I wish he was swinging the bat well, but he wasn't. And the manager has to sometimes make moves to try to spark things.
All right, that was Dombrowski 2 days ago. Now, John, I'm going to ask you a question. And by asking it to you, I'm going to ask it to everybody listening. Are you really out on Alec Boehm, John? You were really harsh last week on him. Are you really out on him?
I don't know. I still am very troubled by his childishness. He is immature. He's 28 years old, I believe, yet as stunted as as all get out. I think that's not what we're looking for. I do think this season we saw it bleed over to where it can be a distraction, to where it can have an impact, a negative impact on the way this team goes out and performs.
It did.
I'm out on him. I'm fully out. Look, and it's situational. He's got 1 year left on his deal. I'm not paying him. After that, I'm just not. He's not a big enough power hitter for me at that position with his size. All we've said for years is, can this guy hit the ball? Look, he's 6'5". What a monster. Lift the ball. And he still hits the exact same way he always has. He has not developed into the player I thought he was going to be. He's a fine third baseman, or a fine player. He's an average or below third baseman.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good third baseman.
He's a decent hitter, but he doesn't do enough for me at that position for the money he's going to cost. I'd rather trade him right now, get what I can for him, and move on.
Well, that's the point. He is valuable to everyone else, probably more so than he is to me for this team. In my eyes, the value he holds to our team, because I do think he brings us down with his attitude.
So
let's go get something while we can, because that will give someone else. We can get more for him now than we ever will.
All right, I really want to pose that question to everyone. For everyone that reacted so hardcore last week, which was a lot of people, are you really out on Alec Bohm? Yes or no?
Well, he's such a speedy runner.
Yeah, he's got limitations.
Yes.
215.
How do you have legs that long and you cannot run fast?